Good morning, everybody. And welcome to First Christian Church on this lovely eclipse weekend. I don't know if you have noticed, we have a couple more people in town, just a few. Hopefully, you have all been able to partake in some of the activities that the city have planned. They're pretty fun. If you go downtown by the Fox Movie Theater, I think is where they have it, they have a map of the world. And people are putting pins from all over the world who have come here for the eclipse. So that's pretty cool. Thank you for making church one of your stops this Sunday, and we are happy to see you. Please silence your cell phones as we prepare for worship by listening to the prelude by Jerry and Friends.
Daily walking close.
On the sheet located at the end of your pew and pass it back to the center aisle. We have a couple of announcements today. First of all, Tom May said that he is needing one women bowler, it doesn't matter what age, for the 5 o'clock Sunday league. So if you love bowling and are great at it, please do it. I suck at bowling, so. another announcement, can you keep a secret? I do not see Ed here, so I can make this announcement. Okay. Ed Burgess is turning 80. We are hosting a surprise party for him. Come celebrate. Saturday, September 2nd at the Casper Shrine Club from 1 to 5. There's an RSVP number up here. I'll just leave this up here, so if anyone is interested, you can come up and get all the information. They hope to see you there. Next Saturday is the trip to Heart Mountain. If you are interested, please contact Jennifer Grooms. The bus will be leaving at 7 a.m. for that. Next weekend after church is the choir retreat potluck. Who here likes to sing? So many people should raise their hands right now. Yay! We need lots of new singers. We love singers, and you get to hang out with Amber. She's super cool. And so after church tomorrow, there's a potluck and a practice for choir. So if you love singing, come. We would love to have you there. Let's see, anything else? And then Sunday school. All of the Sunday school classes start the Sunday after Labor Day weekend. So I believe that's the 10th. Or no, it's the 17th. There will be children's, and then there will be a home builder's adult class. Are there any other announcements? Debbie?
We're selling tickets for the Ethan's Blanket out there, and those it's our outreach projects.
Perfect. If you didn't hear... Okay, if you didn't hear that, there's a lovely Eclipse blanket out front that Debbie is... raffling off, that's the word, raffling off to benefit all of the outreach projects that the church does, like the sandwich ministry and all of the other little projects that we have. So if you would like to buy a ticket, they're selling them out there, and the drawing is Monday at 4, and you don't need to be present to win. Any other announcements? No? Okay. Well, please stand and greet those around you, and then join us in singing our opening hymn, "The Sun is on the Sea and Shore," number 3 in your hymnal.
Hi, Pat. I like the t-shirt. Okay. Hi, Becky. Good. How are you? Thanks for...
Oh, okay. That's not
mine. Again, next... about it.
Okay.
please join me in the call to worship listed in your bulletin and on the overhead screen. Your glory, O God, is declared in the holy silence of the heavens.
Your power is told in silent succession of day and night.
The sun joyfully leaps across the sky. Nothing is hidden from its light.
Nothing we do or say or hold in our hearts is hidden from you, God.
Release us from darkness as we hide deep within our lives.
Let our lives be radiant with holy fear, delighting in you.
Let the words of our mouths and the whispering of our hearts be according to your will, O God. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Lord, today we recall your faithfulness. Thank you that you walk with us every day and that you are with us in each moment. Thank you that your promises are true and your goodness never fails us. When everything seems dark, you never leave our side. Your love eclipses everything else. In this moment, we come to you and we lay our lives before you. May we worship and adore you with every fiber of our being. May everything within us cry, "Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And so today, we join with all those who worship and confess you as Lord from generations past and present, and with the angels that sing in heaven of your greatness and beauty. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we love you. Lord, you are so precious to us. It's in your blessed name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Sorry.
If you would take out the red chalice hymnal and turn to page 21, we will sing together the first and last verses of "Let the Whole Creation Cry." Invite the children who are present to come forward this morning for a time of sharing. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning, everybody. How are you all doing today? Good. Me too. It's a nice day. Does everyone have a pair of eclipse glasses for tomorrow? I wanted to make sure you all have special glasses for looking at the sun. Do you have a pair at home?
Yes.
You have eclipse glasses? Cool. You know, it's interesting when you put your eclipse glasses on and you look at anything except the sun, you can't see anything at all. Can you see anything, Blake? Nope, it's solid black. Can you see anything? Nope, just solid black. The only thing you can see through eclipse glasses is the sun. And the only time it's safe to look directly at the sun is with special eye protection like this. Otherwise, it'll actually burn our eyes and it'll affect our eyesight later on. We might go blind. So we want to be sure that we wear our eclipse glasses tomorrow when we look at the sun. You know, seeing the eclipse is going to be a new experience for me. I've never seen a total eclipse before. I've seen lunar eclipses when the moon goes dark. I've seen partial eclipses when the sky kind of gets a little bit dark, but you can still see the sun. I've never seen a total eclipse before. Have any of you guys ever seen a total eclipse? No? It's a pretty rare thing. And I'm not sure you were alive the last time there was one in America.
That's true.
It is exciting to see and experience something new. And we have something new happening in worship today. We have a guest musician with us. And I didn't ask Jerry ahead of time, but I wondered if maybe he'd be willing to tell us, what is that instrument that you are playing? I bet some of our kids don't know anything about it.
Check, check, check.
There you go. Take that.
I just want to thank my brother Cal. He invited me here to the church to play. And last time I played in this church was 1981. And we had played a wedding. Me and my band, we had the New Life Band. And we had played a wedding that Mary Lou and Bill Westman had asked us to play at. And she was just a fantastic piano player, as Daniela is too, so that is the last time I played in this church, but I'm playing the same instrument as I did then. I'm playing a pedal steel guitar, and it is a instrument that's dear to my heart, and I am so thankful and glad that I could come and play for you guys this morning, and hopefully I'll get back here to play before 36 more years. This is a pedal steel guitar. It is an E9th tuning. It has 5 knee levers and 4 pedals on it. I've got a volume swell and a Telonics amplifier. This is a new guitar. It was built 2 years ago by a friend of mine that's in Minnesota, and he's in a little place called Oak Grove, Minnesota, that's close to Coon Rapids, Minnesota, if you know where that is, just a little bit north of where my uncle Lee lives. And he made this guitar for me 2 years ago, and I sure have enjoyed it. And I thank God that he gave me the talent to play guitar. And I play regular guitar too, but my heart's really with this instrument. So,
Jerry, would it be okay if we have the kids come and stand around so they can see your instrument, not touch it, but just see it up close?
Absolutely.
Let's go stand up there so you all can see. Mm-hmm. A steel guitar is kind of a different instrument. It's shaped different than another guitar. But I bet Jerry could play something for us so you guys can see how it works. Have you guys ever seen anything like that? Have you ever seen a steel guitar before? It has strings just like a guitar you would hold on your lap. But look at the slider thing he uses to change the pitch. I'm sure that's not the official term, the slider thing. And you notice it has foot pedals too. And if you look underneath, he has bars by his knees, and he moves his leg, and that changes the note too. Do you all have questions about the steel guitar? Is there something you want to know? I bet Jerry could tell us.
How does it work? It's a mechanical device that works off of a changer. And as you see these go in and out, this changer works, and when you apply pedals, it will tighten a string or loosen it, whatever you need. So it's an E9 tuning. So if I'm I'm playing a G chord, and I want to change it to a C, I can put an A and B pedal down to do it, or I can slide up 5 frets and do another C, and then go to an F chord. Back to and do an F7, or I could do an F7 major, or an A minor.
So each string plays a different note, and is it kind of like you make the strings a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, you put pressure on them, and that changes the note?
There's 4 of the strings that are duplicated on it, so you can get harmonies with them.
Cool. What a good question. Anybody else have a question for Jerry?
I sure wish that some of you young people would play the steel guitar, the pedal steel guitar, because there isn't that many people that are playing it, and if I was alive in 36 years, I could come back and play here. But if I'm not, then one of you could play.
Maybe you need to come back before 36 years.
Yes.
What an interesting, interesting instrument. It's sort of like a cross between a guitar and a piano in a way, isn't it? It's kind of like a guitar on your lap, and it has pedals like a piano. Thank you so much for being here to play, for worship, and for sharing with the kids today. How about we close with prayer? Let's hold hands. Dear God, we thank you for new experiences, for hearing music in ways we may have never encountered before, and for seeing creation in different ways through the gift of an eclipse. Oh God, bless your children, bless all of your people, with eyes and hearts open wide to see you in the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. And you can head to Children's Church or sit with your parents. Thanks, Jerry. As our children head out of the sanctuary this morning, I invite you to look at the prayer list on the back of the bulletin. And as we share some concerns and joys, I encourage you to find a prayer card. They're in the pew rack in front of you. It's a postcard with a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank so that you can write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. Our card shower this morning is for Betty and Dwayne Axworthy. Reverend and Mrs. Axworthy have just moved to Primrose, and they are getting settled in. It's a time of transition. When you reach that point in life, you need to begin downsizing and move to a smaller living space where you have more help and assistance. At chapel this morning, the Axworthy's daughter Jan reported that Betty said, "Everything's going wonderfully well." So that is good to hear. Please send greetings and prayers to them as they're not able to be in worship with us very often because of age and health. We continue to pray for Monica Decker as she'll be headed to Mayo Clinic in Arizona soon. We pray for wisdom for the doctors so that they are able to help her remain as healthy and strong as she possibly can. A prayer concern lifted at chapel today, a friend of Nina Heitrich, Linda Daniel, has been diagnosed with cancer, and there are signs that it is spreading. Prayers for her and for others who are living with cancer. As we think of the world around us, we pray for Scott Nicholson, who serves as a missionary in Mexico. We also pray for people in both Finland and Barcelona, Spain, recovering from the shock of violent attacks in Barcelona. A car plowed down a pedestrian way, and in Finland there was a stabbing attack. We pray in sympathy and support for families of those whose lives were lost and for those who are injured in recovery. We also want to be mindful of people in Sierra Leone. There was a horrific mudslide there this week. About 400 lives were lost prayers for them as well. At the back of the sanctuary, you'll find a prayer sheet. We, every week, pray for partners in ministry. This morning, we're praying for the members of First Christian Church in Alamosa, Colorado. You're encouraged to pray for them during the week and sign the sheet to send your greetings. A personal prayer request I would lift up today. My nephew Josh and his wife Janelle Cook are expecting their first baby to be born sometime this week. And Grandpa, my dad, gave up the opportunity of being there when the baby was born to come to Wyoming to visit me. So we are waiting news of Janelle giving birth to a baby boy. We pray for a healthy delivery whenever that happens. Great-grandpa might get home before the baby's born. We don't know. So prayers for them. Are there others today that we want to lift up, joys to share, or concerns to name? Debbie. We want to pray for Ryan, who celebrated his 16th birthday by making the statement, it will be his last. He is a young man who's obviously overcome by the grief of losing his mother. Prayers for his family and for friends. Prayers for all those who know him, that they might be able to reach out to him in a way that he can hear and understand. Life is a precious gift, even when you've lost someone you love. We pray that Ryan's heart and mind will be changed and he will embrace life and find joy again. Please pray for his safety throughout the coming year. Paul. In case you couldn't hear Paul, we're giving welcome to Dr. Badger, our former pastor visiting this weekend. We are always honored to have him with us. And prayers of safety for those who are traveling, prayers of rejoicing that Casper has the opportunity to host guests from all over the world, prayers that this would be a safe weekend for all. Yes, sir. Indeed. Thank you, Paul, for those wise words. Yep. Tom.
Oh, I just found out one of our workers there, we always call him Taco. He collapsed a couple weeks ago. I didn't want to bring it up. John Suss, he's a Spanish guy, 24 years old, had a pretty bad stroke. He's leaving us. So. I mean, he's leaving the work. He's got to go back to the pattern.
Prayers for John, is that his name? Who?
I can't say the last name.
That's okay. He's recovering from a stroke, one of Tom's coworkers. Prayers of health for him. Are there others? And let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. O God of glory, all creation bears witness to your greatness. The sun and the moon, the stars, were created by your own hand.
On this weekend, as our country prepares to observe a total solar eclipse, many minds and many eyes will be turned towards the heavens. Lord, we pray that as people of faith, we may in some way take advantage of this opportunity to help others turn their minds and hearts to your heaven, to see through the glory of creation the glory of the Creator. Lord, help us to bear faithful witness to you by being a hospitable community, a welcoming community, a place that embraces others who may be so different than us. Let us give welcome to travelers from around the world who have come here to Casper to see in the beauty of Wyoming the beauty of what you will reveal when the sky goes dark. Oh God, for those who live with darkness in their lives, we pray for your light, for hope, for healing. We pray especially for Ryan, a young man racked by the grief of losing his mother. Oh God, he is at a point of despair. We pray that you will reach through his darkness and help him to find the light of life again. Surround him with friends and family who offer care and support, who challenge him to know there is a better way. Let him not give up on life, O God, but live life more fully. Lord, we thank you for those who have lived long and full lives. We pray your blessing upon the Axworthies as they settle into a new home. May it be a safe place filled with precious memory, even as it becomes a new adventure. Lord, we ask you to be with Monica and Cal later this month as they travel to Arizona. We pray for wisdom from the doctors she will meet. Thank you, God, for bringing Jerry here and so many members of the Decker family to share with us today in the gift of music. We pray for Linda Daniel, who lives with cancer, and others who are struggling with health. We ask for a healthy delivery for Josh and Janelle Cook as they bring into the world an already beloved baby boy. Lord, we join with Tom in praying for a coworker, John, who collapsed from a stroke. We pray for those who travel far, for those who have traveled to see the eclipse, but also for those who travel to serve you. God, we ask your blessing upon Scott Nicholson and the work that he does as a missionary in Mexico. We pray for people we may never meet, but whose stories touch our hearts. We pray for those in Sierra Leone recovering from a horrific mudslide and flooding, for grieving families and torn communities struggling to rebuild. We pray for global neighbors in Finland and Barcelona. And Lord, we confess to you our need for your presence. Holy One, we long for a world that knows your peace, which passes all understanding. But we name before you that we are confronted yet today with signs of hatred and racism and fear and distrust. Oh God, we ask your presence in places where the human family erupts in violence. Lord, we ask that you would use the church to be a voice for wholeness in a fragmented world. Please bless our brothers and sisters in Christ who are worshiping this day at First Christian Church in Alamosa. Holy God, there are so many needs that we have and so many joys that come from you. For all the prayers named aloud today, we ask your blessing, but also for those that are held silently in our hearts.
We give thanks, Holy One, that you hear and respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, my dad and I were among the crowd that gathered at the David Street Station in downtown Casper. What a privilege it was to see this wonderful facility that was recently completed just in time for the Eclipse Festival and to hear some wonderful music. Amber and the Oil City Slickers were singing and did a great variety of barbershop pieces and more contemporary songs with incredible harmony. Dad and I sought out one tiny corner of shade where we plopped down our chairs. It was a hot afternoon, and I was impressed with the people who sat in the full sun to listen to the music. And then, after the Oil City Slickers were done singing, a young dance troupe got up, and I thought, it's too hot for me to just sit in the sun. I can't imagine dancing in the middle of the afternoon. Dad and I decided it was time to find a cold drink. I had noticed people walking by with jugs of lemonade, and I thought, that sounds good. So we wandered over to a booth that was selling lemonade, fresh squeezed, but kind of a small cup. My father, who has taught me well about frugality, shared with me a sense of sticker shock when we saw the price for a little glass of ice and water and sugar and lemon juice. We decided there's lemonade in the kitchen at home and an unlimited supply of ice. So we bugged out early from the heat and headed home for a cold drink and conversation and reading on a shaded patio in the backyard. There are times when the price someone wants you to pay for a drink or a meal seems a little bit excessive. We expect that when you go to a fair or a festival, when someone else is hauling in food and there are a lot of folks who really want to eat, you'll pay what you have to pay. At church, we are so blessed in worship every Sunday because the world's most precious meal is given to us every week, with no expectation of money paid in return. As followers of Christ, every Sunday we come to the Lord's table and we're offered the cup and the bread as a sign for us of the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ through his body and blood. If we had to pay for this meal, in reality, it would cost everything we have because that was the price Jesus paid. Instead, it is freely given with generous love and wide open welcome. This morning, if you thirst spiritually for God's love, if you hunger for hope in your life, we invite you to share in this foretaste of the heavenly feast. A tiny taste of the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation is offered for all. After we sing a song of preparation this morning, you're invited to come forward by the center aisle. Bring with you prayer cards, tithes, and offerings if you choose, and place them in the tray at the front pew. Take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and taste the sweetness of God's love. Then return to your pew by the side aisle. If you prefer to remain seated, you'll be served where you are. All who believe in God's love, all who seek to serve Jesus Christ, are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper with us. Let's prepare for communion by singing together from the Purple Chalice Praise Songbook, number 158, Come to the Table of Mercy. We'll sing it through two times.
Come to the table of mercy.
remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Dear Lord and Savior, the steadfast anchor of our souls, we come to this table in many states of hunger. Hunger for forgiveness, hunger for comfort, hunger for healing. We come needing sorrow and anger and guilt to be washed away and to be replaced by your love and mercy. Thank you, dear Jesus, for meeting us here with the bread and the cup and filling our hearts with your peace. Amen.
From the burden of sin, there's power in the blood, there's power in the blood. Would you our evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Power, power, wonder working. guys know these songs. For our special music, go ahead and sing along.
I'll fly away to a home on
for you to play along.
Oh, you were? Oh, you should have come to the first. Or...
I will be reading from the Book of Psalms. If you choose to follow up, it's on page 498 in your Bible. And I'll be reading from Psalm 19, 1 through 4, through 9, and then 1 verse 14. God's glory in creation and the law. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And nothing is hid from the heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then from 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
We have an additional reading from the Psalms today. In your pew Bible, it's on page 576. Psalm 136 was written to be read aloud in worship. It is written with a repetitive response. Every line ends with the phrase, "His steadfast love endures forever." Today, as I read the first 9 verses and then the last verse of this psalm, I invite you to respond with the end of each line by saying, "For his steadfast love endures forever." Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders? Who by understanding made the heavens?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth on the waters?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who made the great lights?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule over the night?
His steadfast love.
Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jerry and friends, for that gift of music today and for inviting us to sing along. What a delight. Hallelujah, amen. It took me back to my years as a student pastor in Kentucky.
when we sang, "Washed in the blood and I'll fly away," a bit more often than we do here in Casper. What great music. Thank you. I invite you to pray with me. Oh Lord, we come before you in worship, longing to be exposed to the full glory of your light, yet humbly aware that sometimes, Holy One, the fullness of your presence is overpowering. And so we also give thanks for those experiences in life that bring times of shadow so that we may see your light more clearly. Bless our time together as we reflect on your word and your glory revealed in creation. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am blessed to be part of a group of clergy colleagues here in town in Casper. I'm actually part of two clergy groups. One is an official organization called Servants United. They meet monthly during the school year, share ideas for programming, talk about concerns in the community. I'm also part of an informal group of colleagues. We meet for coffee almost every Wednesday at Metro. I show up and listen to other preachers ponder what they're preaching on, listen to other pastors share the heartbreak of ministering to someone who is sick or suffering. Shared together, we strengthen one another for the journey of ministry. And then I show up here at First Christian after having had one or two or maybe three cups of coffee at Metro, and the quilting ladies say, "Hey, Pastor, have a cup of coffee." I never mean to be rude, but sometimes I decline the offer because of the limit of caffeine that's healthy for me. One of my colleagues said that somebody asked her, "Do you have your eclipse sermon ready?" And she was offended. She said, "The eclipse is not included in the lectionary. I'm preaching on the Bible on Sunday." Someone else said, "Well, what about you, Pastor Cynthia?" And I said, "I'm preaching on the Bible too. If I ever don't, I might lose my job. But I am going to talk about the eclipse just because it's so much in our minds right now, living in Casper, Wyoming. On August 21st, 2017, you would really have to be probably deaf and blind and locked away in a closet with no access to news to not know the total solar eclipse is happening tomorrow. This past week, I flew to Indianapolis for a meeting at the general office, and it was a quick trip. I left here on Thursday and came back on Friday. The reason I came back on Friday was that there were no plane tickets flying into Casper available on Saturday. On Friday, my flight from Indianapolis went off without a hitch. The TSA agent looked at my driver's license and said, "Huh, Wyoming. This is the second one of those I've seen today. I've never seen one before." I said, "Well, everybody's going to Wyoming for the eclipse. I'm just trying to get home." He said, "Good luck." I landed in Denver. I had plenty of time in between connections to walk the whole length of the B terminal back and forth, stretching my legs, finding some supper, and then sitting at the gate. I looked up, and across from me, I recognized in an instant there were folks traveling for the eclipse. I was looking at three women who physically looked enough alike. They had to be sisters or maybe at least cousins. I knew they were coming to watch the eclipse because all of them had on matching ball caps with a map of the United States and a diagonal line going from Oregon to Charleston. Not only did they have matching caps, they all had on a t-shirt. Now, their t-shirts weren't all the same. They were different colors, but every t-shirt had a big statement about the eclipse. One had the date and a map. One was a Wyoming t-shirt that said eclipse on it. The other had a list of all the past eclipses that have reached the point of totality. It was fun to eavesdrop on their conversation as these three gals talked with each other about this trip they are so excited for. They've been planning it for a long time. Each one of them had next to them a three-legged walking stick with a little seat attached so it folds out, so it can be a combo cane and stool. I thought, well, that's a smart thing to take to an eclipse, so no matter where you are, you sit down and look at the sun. We visited a little bit. They were impressed to know that I was a real Casperite, that I actually lived in Wyoming. I asked how they had decided to come to Casper, because there are other places where totality will happen. They said, we wanted to avoid the crowds. It was funny to me, based on the energy in our community over past weeks and months and the planning that has happened over a two-year period here in Casper to prepare for what we perceive as crowds of people. Well, you know, when you live in a small town, if you have five or six extra folks, it feels like a crowd. It was fun watching them share their excitement about the eclipse. They took turns standing up and walking and stretching and waiting for the flight. One of them came back to share with great excitement. The bookstore in the terminal at the airport has the Discover magazine with an article about the eclipse on it. And she asked her traveling colleagues, do you want one? Well, yes, of course. So she hurried back and bought three copies and hustled in with them. I was kind of charmed by their enthusiasm for this event. They're just regular gals, middle-aged women, who are on a trek together having fun. After I got on the plane, that small United jet that runs from Denver to Casper, I realized probably about half the folks on the plane were coming to Casper for the eclipse. The woman sitting next to me was a local like me. She read a book the whole time. Across the aisle from us, there were two guys who were comparing notes on photographic equipment and solar filters. They were coming specifically to photograph the eclipse and debating the merits of Casper Mountain or outside of the city somewhere. Sitting behind me, as we prepared for our descent into Casper airspace, I heard a conversation between a gentleman who lives in Texas, who has a good friend who works at the Johnson Space Center. He was coming to see his very first eclipse. He had photos on his phone of his friend who works for NASA, who had given him tips on how to watch and where to come. He said he'd been planning this trip for 2 years. He made his reservations well in advance. He targeted Casper not to avoid the crowds, but for our 88% chance of clear skies. You learn a lot of statistics when you listen to people talk about the eclipse. He was a seat companion riding next to a gentleman from Germany who is a professional astronomer. He was bringing with him a telescope that was carefully packed in special vibration-resistant foam riding in the belly of the plane. And the two of them were discussing, like the folks across the aisle, the merits of trying to photograph a solar eclipse. I eavesdropped carefully because I've been pondering, do I get out my camera? I don't have a solar filter. My lens isn't that great. It's okay, but I have a tripod. I don't know. I'm not even sure where I'm going to take Dad to see the eclipse. Do we go in the mountain or outside of town? Or I think we'll just step into the backyard. How often do you get a total eclipse in your own backyard? It's good enough for me. The gentleman from Germany, the professional astronomer, was excited to see his fourth total solar eclipse. He saw one in Europe, where he lives, many years ago. He saw one in Turkey that he was able to photograph. It had almost 4 minutes of totality. which is impressive compared to our 2 minutes and however many seconds it's going to be here in Casper. It was fascinating to me to listen to the enthusiasm, first of three women who are just on a trek having fun, and then to two professionals who have seriously planned and prepared for this journey. The eclipse is coming. Ready or not, it will happen. There have been times throughout history when eclipses have occurred, some with great expectation and some taking people totally by surprise. In some cultures in the ancient world, there was no understanding of how the earth revolves around the sun and the moon revolves around the earth. And so every once in a while, the moon gets in between the earth and the sun. There was no understanding of that. There were cultures that did not even realize the sun is a star, a blazing ball of gas. There were cultures and times when humanity tried to describe that bright light in other ways, as a god riding a chariot from one end of heaven to the other. The Egyptians thought of the sun as a god riding a chariot. In ancient China, when an eclipse happened, the explanation was given that a giant dragon had swallowed the sun. Interesting to think about. With a modern scientific mind, it doesn't make much sense, and we kind of chuckle. And yet, if you were of a people who knew nothing of the physical nature of the cosmos, it would make sense to try to tell stories that explain things you just don't grasp. So if you were a person in ancient China who believed a dragon was coming to swallow your sun, you would at least know without the sun, there is no light, there is no life. Earth gets too cold, no food grows. We can't let the dragon eat the sun. We'll make noise and scare it away. There are still places where eclipse festivals are celebrated in different ways, some of which include people being as noisy as they can. Maybe not to scare away a dragon, but because it's kind of fun. The ancient Hebrew people understood that the sun was in the sky because God put it there. The psalmist wrote, "The heavens are telling the glory of God. And the firmament proclaims God's handiwork." The firmament is a wonderful old-fashioned word. In Hebrew, the word that is translated literally means dome. The understanding of the cosmos at that time was that Earth was flat, and there was a dome that stretched over it. That was the firmament. And on that great dome, God had placed the sun as a light to rule over the day and the moon as a light to rule over the night. And the two took turns with each other. In an eclipse, it's almost as if the moon is stealing part of the sun's turn to shine on the earth for just a few minutes and then going back to her rightful place, getting out of the way of Big Brother Sun, who gets all the glory. The dome, the firmament, the heavens proclaim God's handiwork. Even people who are not of a religious bent or intentionally, consciously spiritual, even people who have no faith background, talk of the experience of seeing a total eclipse as being one that inspires awe. If nothing else, it makes us aware of our place in the cosmos. For those 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes in the middle of the day, we see the dome that covers the earth, the sky above us, in a totally different way. We see stars and planets. They're there all the time, but when the sun is shining, we can't see them. And so it's as if God takes a little finger and puts it right in front of the sun just to say, look, the stars and the planets are still here. You're still tiny and small and you live on earth. And then God takes away that finger and the sun is revealed again as if God is saying, look what I have done. there is something primal for people who experience an eclipse as revealing the grandness of creation in a way they've never seen before. As people of faith, whether or not we've already seen an eclipse, I think in some way we already get it. We know that God is greater and vaster and stronger and wiser and more everlasting than anything else we can name. We know that we have a place on earth as a part of creation, and creation is what God has made. The heavens and the firmament still proclaim the glory of God. And whether you yell at the sky because you think a dragon is eating the sun, or you pack a three-legged stool for a cross-country trek with your girlfriends, or you load up an expensive, valuable, well-tuned telescope, no matter how you watch an eclipse, you can't ignore that it's happening. Even if you stay inside your house, it gets dark enough that you notice something is different. When I was in seminary in Lexington, Kentucky, there was a partial solar eclipse. And we were in class the afternoon when it happened. I think the professors hadn't really put much merit into that being a significant event for students who had never experienced it. The windows outside the classroom grew so dark that several students thought there was a storm coming, maybe even a tornado, and class was interrupted as we all rushed to the window to see what was happening. An eclipse is something that you can't ignore because it happens on such a grand, great scale. How is it then that we're able to ignore God, who exists on an even grander, greater scale? I wonder if perhaps for modern day humans, there is something that tries to obscure or block or eclipse our ability to see the Holy One. Perhaps for some people, it's the advent of technology. If you're always busy looking at your screen, you never notice the beauty of nature that God has made. Or perhaps it's the pressure of a fast-paced life. You're always busy trying to earn that next paycheck and get a little bit more money than you had yesterday, and so you don't take time to breathe in the presence of the one who gives the breath of life. For whatever reason, I think there are some for whom God seems eclipsed. But the beautiful truth is that God is always there. God's steadfast presence with us is even more strong and sure than the presence of the sun shining on our planet. Nothing eclipses God's love. God's steadfast love lasts forever. Later on in the Psalms, we are called to give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, the Lord of lords, who alone does great wonders. His steadfast love endures forever. By understanding, God made the heavens. Pretty amazing to me that modern scientists understand solar eclipses well enough that they can tell us in 2024 there will be another total solar eclipse crossing the continental United States. And if you live in Carbondale, Illinois, you'll get to see this one and that one if you want. It sounds like they work on about the same schedule, Jerry, as you're visiting us to bring music. Let's make it a little more often. I have an app on my phone that someone told me was pretty cool, so I downloaded it. It's an eclipse tracker. You can look up a map, and it shows you where in the world the next total and partial eclipse will be. You can enter your location, Casper, Wyoming, And it will tell you the exact latitude and longitude and a whole bunch of other scientific definitions about the azimuth and the position of the moon and the sun. A lot of stuff I don't understand, but it shows up on this cool little graphic. And then there's a countdown timer. And so you can set your phone to tell you how many now hours are left. It was counting days, now it's counting hours are left until the eclipse begins and the moment of totality starts and ends and moves on. It's pretty cool. I'm kind of impressed that scientists have figured out all of this stuff. The reason that they're able to do that is because heaven, the sky, the universe, is made in a way that is understandable. God has a great plan for all of creation, not just the birds and the trees on our little rock, the third planet from the sun. God has a plan that includes the most distant stars and galaxies. God's plan dictated that what we call the sun would shine with just enough warmth that life on our planet could happen. It's not too hot, it's not too cold. It's a little bit better than Mars or Mercury or Pluto, where you might freeze. God's plan included giving us a little rock to orbit our Earth, what we call the moon. And God made it to move in an elliptical orbit. So it's not a perfect circle. Sometimes it's a little closer to us and sometimes it's a little farther from us. There are some eclipses where the moon blocks the sun, but you can still see the sun around the edge of it because it's far enough away. This total eclipse tomorrow, the moon is close enough to us that we won't be able to see any of the sun, except its corona, those wonderful rays that shoot out around it, depending on how active the sun is. All of that incredible, glorious stuff that the scientists explain in ways that some of us just scratch our heads to try to understand, it's all part of God's plan. God figured it all out a long time ago. I wonder if God decided on purpose to make sure that there'd be an eclipse every once in a while, so that people who get used to ignoring the glory of heaven all of a sudden pay attention. In Casper this week, there's hardly talk of anything else. And it doesn't matter if you're excited about getting ready to watch the eclipse, you're preparing to watch the eclipse, you're welcoming friends from out of town to watch the eclipse, or you're looking forward to it being over, you're aware it's happening. What an amazing thing in this modern time for there to be something in nature that gets everybody's attention. I wonder if God said, let's make the moon orbit the earth and the earth orbit the sun in such a way that every once in a while people will pay attention and notice creation made by the Creator. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's love endures in those periods when no eclipse blocks the sun and all is bright and clear. God's love endures when a total eclipse of the sun crosses over your community twice in a lifetime. God's love endures in the winter when the frigid wind blows and the bears hibernate and the Christmas tree goes up and comes down. God's love endures in the spring when the flowers bloom and the people of God celebrate the resurrection of Christ. God's love endures when our personal lives feel dark and cold, as if we've been eclipsed from ourselves somehow and we lose our way. We're struggling because we've lost a job, or we have cancer, or there's a broken relationship we wish we could mend, or we live in a country that has more racism than we want to admit. God's love endures. God's love endures when our personal lives are sunny and bright. The kids are healthy and happy. We have new friends. We have a home that we love. We feel blessed.
We have work that is meaningful and actually pays the bills. God's love endures. God's love endures when the people of God gather to shout praises louder than the entire nation of China chasing away a dragon to swallow the sun. God's love endures when the people of God whisper prayers in the deep of night that no one else's ears hear. God's love endures when humanity forgets that we are made by God. God's love endures. For his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Say with me, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. God alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. By understanding, God made the heavens. His steadfast love endures forever. God spread out the earth on the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. God made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. God made the eclipse, for his steadfast love endures forever. God made you and me, for his steadfast love endures forever. God is present with us now, for his steadfast love endures forever. God's love shines on us always, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 56 in the hymnal, For the Beauty of the Earth. If there is anyone here this morning who is looking for a church home, we would invite you to join us at First Christian. If there is anyone who has never given your heart to Jesus Christ, we encourage you to pray and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. If you are moved to rededicate your life to God, if you have questions about your faith and need to talk with someone, you are welcome here. Let's stand and sing together For the Beauty of the Earth. I share with you a brief reflection written by Walter Scott, who was a 19th century disciples frontier evangelist. He says, "I enjoyed the feast of 100 hills, all lying in the quietude of the infinite, who had formed them a feature of his own power. For a moment, I retreated to the back of the mountain, that I might enjoy the sweets of solitude, that I might hold converse for a moment with the great sentiment of power that impressed itself on the surrounding scene. With the multitude of hills lying all around me, I could not but lift up my hat as being in the presence of God." Tomorrow, when you lift up your sunglasses off your face for 2 minutes to see the sun, may you know you are in the presence of God. Amen. May you be blessed with peace and grace as you go forth this week. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, may we live as faithful followers of the true Son of God, Jesus Christ, whose love cannot be eclipsed, who endures forever. Amen. There's coffee and refreshments downstairs. We'd invite you to come.